Well, good morning, Tucson. This is Tom Moulton, the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And we got a great show for you today, but let's talk just a little bit about Jump in Tucson. Every weekday, we have a brand new set of shows with wonderful community leaders as our host, and I get the privilege of every Thursday to be in front of you to talk a little bit about tourism. I'll talk about the attractions. In particular, today, we're going to take a little bit of a path away from the attractions and talk to a wonderful gentleman who's a community leader, but as well as a global leader. And his name is Mike Satterfield. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Tom?
Absolutely. Now, you're calling in from in the Phoenix area today?
Yeah, actually calling in from Scottsdale, Arizona, but I literally was in your fine city last night. My daughter graduated from University of Arizona back in December, and her professor got a grant to pay for her for the following year. So I went down to have dinner with her last night and made it back up here to be ready for your show this morning.
Well, we always ask, but we don't do it in the beginning. But since you brought it up, were you happy where you ate last night?
I was. I have to really say, and it kind of plays into probably our conversation today, the restaurant was kind of an average restaurant, but I have to say our server was fantastic. I just love the enthusiasm she had, because that's hard to find anymore. Right? I tell our kids all the time, as they're out in the world adulting now, being average is acceptable. If you're just a little above average, you'll really stand out. And I gotta give her credit. And I think that goes for Tucson as a whole. You've got some really good quality people down there.
Oh, it's really good to hear that. As you know, and of course you have a lot of people, and we'll get engaged in that in just a few moments, that work for you. But you know, enthusiasm is so important when you're interviewing someone. You kind of get a sense and a feel of how well they're going to do. Now, knowledge is something that is important but can be obtained. But boy, enthusiasm, you know, we have to say that's up to the individual, that's up to mom and dad who raised them, and it's the same with any customer service. So I'm glad to hear that. We work really hard, being somewhat in the shadows of Phoenix, Arizona, and all of the 5 million or so people there. Tucson has to try a little bit harder, and I always remember the old Avis, marketing branding that we're number two, and we try a little bit harder. And I think we excel at that here in Tucson. So let's get a little bit into the show. So Mike is the managing director of Helms Briscoe. And their website says they're the global leader in hotel site selection. And you know what? I think that is a true and a fair statement. Now, a lot of folks probably out there, Michael, don't know who the hell Helms Briscoe is, because you're kind of behind the scenes kind of guy. But, you know, I'm here to learn as well, because I know you're working with Visit Tucson, our DMO here, Destination Marketing Organization. And I know personally two of your folks here in town, Scott Darlage and Peter Tsai. Unfortunately, they're both working today. And one of them is traveling from a trip. So, Michael, it's just going to be you and me. And across in the other microphone is Kimberly. And Kimberly works with me at Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And she doesn't know this, but I'll probably ask her one or two questions today, because she's working on a really special project for us here with the SAAA Old Tucson and Make-A-Wish. But, Michael, let's start with a little bit about who the heck are you, sir, and how did you end up working at Helms Briscoe?
Well, I'll kind of start off by saying I've been told I have a face for radio, so this should this work real well. Jump right into that.
Yeah, we don't do the Zoom thing here. So.
Well, thank goodness, because if we did that all the time, that would put me and the other 1,400 associates with our company out of work. Kind of simple story. I like most people. Now I'll have to admit right off the bat that I did go to Arizona State University, so I know, you know, got a lot of our Tucson fans down there. But of course, having a daughter that went to Tucson, that always helps. I started off in high school and college not really knowing what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to go into law enforcement or advertising, and somehow I ended up in the hotel world, and a big part of that was because I was working at a hotel through high school and college. I did operations for 9 years through high school and college of basically working everything from room service to bartending to at one time I was even was a bouncer in our nightclub and events. But as I started to get ready to graduate, knew I needed to start a career, wasn't sure really what I wanted to do, and I started looking at the hotel that I was working at and who really seemed to enjoy their job, who seemed to be making money, what did I like doing. Sales was really never anything I thought I would ever get into. But I started asking around, having some conversations, and was fortunate enough to have some people that saw some potential and gave me an opportunity, basically, to participate in a summer sales program, which I ended up winning. And then I got offered my first sales job working for a local resort. Ended up doing that for roughly 12 years and parlayed that from starting in a very small position to I was the area director of sales and marketing for the Point Hilton Resorts, and at the ripe old age of 36, just found if I was going to be the dad and the husband I wanted to be, and I wanted to kind of stretch my entrepreneurial muscles, I started looking at Helms Briscoe, which at that time was just up and running for about 10 years, and I had been talking to the owner for quite a while. And so I thought, what more exciting thing to do than to leave my six-figure income and full benefits, being a full-time provider for my family, and jump into a 100% commission role and see how that might work out. And here we are almost 22 years later, ended up being the best decision of my career.
Well, I did see your picture. I think it was on the web. And you do not look like all the years of experience that you just talked about.
Well, my wife has reminded me I probably need to update that picture a few more gray hairs. But yeah, it's not too inaccurate, if that's the correct verbiage.
Well, it's always good to find that picture from 20 years ago, let me tell you. Before I had gray hair, and as my family affectionately calls it, the molten turkey neck. I have four brothers and my father, and we inherited not only his full set of hair well into his 60s and 70s, but we also inherited some other things about him. But that's another story. We won't talk about that. I think most importantly, what I just heard was you came up from the bottom, you worked your way up. You enjoy the hospitality industry. You've proven that while you may have started at entry-level salary, that if you work hard and you do your job, there is advancement in the hospitality industry where you can make a decent living and raise a family. Good to hear that.
Yeah, I most certainly agree. I think the hospitality industry is still one where it certainly helps to have a college education. Would never dissuade someone from going down that path, but it also is the type of industry where, much to your point, hard work and perseverance can really have you go very far. I've a good friend of mine that recently just got promoted to a senior regional director position within Hilton Hotels. I hired him as a banquet captain, and now through all of his hard work and perseverance, like I said, now he's a senior regional director for over 20 hotels with Hilton, has no college education, but he got kind of a education through the School of Hard Knocks by working his way up from an operations standpoint. So it's still a great industry to get into.
Well, Michael, thank you for joining us. Boy, that first segment really quick. We're going to be back in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk a little more in depth about Helms Briscoe and how it's helping hotels and destinations really around the world. Our special guest today is Mike Satterfield from Helms Briscoe, and I'm Tom Moulton, and this is Jump in Tucson, and we'll see you back in just a few minutes. Well, welcome back. This is Tom Moulton, and we're in Jump in Tucson, and our special guest today is from Helms Briscoe, and good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Tom.
So we're back, and we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about Helms Briscoe. But I just enjoy reading your website prior to contacting you to be on the show. And I just like, you know, since 1992, I'm going to read this. Helms Briscoe has benefited. Helms Briscoe clients have benefited from our global reach, unsurpassed experience, and industry relationships. Helms Briscoe streamlines, and then I'll just go, that'll be kind of our beginning of, so tell us, you said you've been around for a while, you came in, you know the owner, you started with Helms Briscoe how long ago?
It'll be 22 years in October.
That is just amazing, 22 years. And obviously you've been through multiple recessions. You survived during COVID. So let's talk a little bit. Let's just dive into who is Helms Briscoe and how are you really helping the corporate meaning world, I guess would probably maybe one way of asking the question.
Sure. So, as you said, Helms Briscoe was started, well, we're coming up 32 years ago. It was founded back in 1992 by Roger Helms, who was actually a local hotelier. I knew him just from the industry. I was a junior salesperson at that time. And Roger, like most great ideas, he came up with this idea for Helms Briscoe really through a simple concept, which was modeled after the real estate industry. You can buy a house and not need a real estate agent. But typically you hire a real estate agent because they know the industry, they know the contracts, they know the backgrounds, the ins and outs. So you want to bring an expert in that can kind of help you along with that. So on the hotel side, most hotels, the way you fill your hotels is with leisure travelers, business travelers, and with groups. And when I was a director of sales at a hotel, similar to Roger, our job was bringing groups to our hotels. And often that came from just coming to you direct or a company that represented the hotel going out and looking for those groups. Roger's idea was, let's have something that's more client-centric, where someone is working for the client. So basically, in a nutshell, what we do, we're almost like real estate agents for meetings, kind of a meeting broker. A company has a meeting. They need to find a home. You can go on and Google hotels, or you can come to a company like ours, and one of our associates will basically help you find the hotel using our background knowledge and our technology. And then we'll help negotiate the contracts. And because of our buying power, often we can bring in some different amenities. We can also bring in different discounts, those types of things. And one of our biggest selling points is all those things that we do for our clients, we don't charge for it. It's basically a free service we provide to the client because we're compensated by the hotels for bringing them business. So the way I looked at it when I made this jump was, if I can help my clients, I can help the hotels, and I can put food on the table at the same time, it's a pretty good gig. And Roger started this company again back in 1992. I think they did about $25,000 in revenue. And then last year, we celebrated our top producing year and had just shy of $1.7 billion booked internationally, or domestically and internationally, I guess you'd say globally. So it's done pretty well over the last 32 years.
Well, I think talking to some of our resorts here who their primary business is groups or corporate clients, and it's come back. I mean, there was a lot of discussion during COVID that the meetings would not come back. And I think it seems like every time that we have a recession or some kind of crisis out there and groups go away, all those hotels that are doing 70% or so in the meeting business, you know, they automatically seem to turn on their leisure marketing strategies. It just seems over the last 20 years or so, in the 22 years you've been with Helms, that the meeting plannings are they just seem to be healthy in the sense of they come back sooner than we all predicted. Resilient, I guess, is the word that I heard so much during COVID. Every interview was, how resilient is Tucson, Arizona? And you go like, well, we like to work, we like to play, we like to have a good time, and you know, and we're not gonna sleep during this pandemic. And sure enough, our meeting industry, I visit the Hilton El Conquistador and Marriott and Ritz Carlton, and they all seem to be doing really well. Is that across the nation and globally, or is it just really kind of a regional thing that's going on?
No, I would agree. It really is across the world. Pre-COVID, Helms Frisco, the only down year we ever had or we dropped in revenue was in 2008 after the financial crash. And that was primarily because hotels had kind of slashed rates at that point in order to entice business to come back to the hotels. The hotel community was smarter this time around post-COVID. They really didn't slash rates. They kind of kept the demand was high. It's almost been like drinking out of a fire hose post-COVID, because what you've had is everything from revenge travel to bleisure, where groups are taking place, but people are attaching leisure stays pre and post, to the fact that you have limited demand. There aren't as many new hotels being built. In many cases, we're seeing where companies are holding what we would call all company meetings. You have a hard time getting someone to come back to your office, but if you do an all company meeting in Cancun, somehow people find a way to make it there. I think also we find that we're social animals, right? When VCRs came out, they thought that would destroy the people going to movie theaters. And what they found was people still did that because we like to interact. We like to be with people. Zoom calls and virtual webinars were great over COVID. And I said great only because that was the only way we could meet. But when we came out of COVID, people wanted to meet again. And we're even seeing both on the corporate and the association side, we're seeing numbers meeting, if not exceeding, expectations. Heck, all you really have to do is go in and look at most hotel stocks. They're at record highs right now. And that's because hotels learned how to be more efficient over COVID, but also the demand has come back. It's been strong. And I'm personally hoping for myself and all of our associates that it continues to stay that way for a while.
Yeah, I was talking to my friends from SimpleView, and I know you know they're stationed corporate headquarters here in Tucson, and have DMO clients from around the world, and they have an annual meeting where they bring all of their clients together. And now they outgrew Tucson as far as hotel space, because they like to be all in one location, several years ago, before even COVID. But recently, they had the most crowd they ever had at their event, and it was an educational event, it was a networking event, it was a learning event. So, absolutely, I'm hearing the same thing that you are. Now, I'm not in the corporate meeting world; I'm kind of more of a generalist Tucson resident, Oro Valley in particular, and I get an opportunity to run an organization that is predominantly attractions. But attractions welcome pretty much anybody that comes to the Southern Arizona, and we'll take leisure visitors, we'll take groups, we'll take really anybody that wants to have a lot of fun and escape into some kind of reality that maybe that they're interested in. But it used to be where I love the bus group. I love the buses when they came in, because, you know, attractions work for every single guest. There is so much to do out there. When you have 55 people show up at your front gate all at the same time, but you know what? When you have an attraction and you're not going after group meetings, you're really missing an opportunity to have what, you know, in our industry we call incremental income. Now, you may have to hire the right people, have the right customer service. But are you finding that when you're working with the meeting planner for a corporate hotel, or for maybe it's a group that, you know, a company like a DMC, you know, in the sense, you know, you're working with DMOs. I mean, you know, there's you have quite a variety of clients, don't you?
Yeah, I think we like to say all ships rise with the tide. When we're helping our clients find the right destination, the right hotel, that's just part of what we're doing. We're trying to find, obviously, the right hotel that fits their needs. But in addition to that is, what is the destination like? What are, as you noted, what are the attractions around that hotel or in that destination? I was just on a site inspection in Hawaii a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, what was great about being in Hawaii, this was in Maui, was the fact that the hotels all obviously competed heavily for the business. But what they really wanted was they wanted to see Maui receive the business. And that was very helpful. I would love to see all destinations kind of do that.
Well, we'll be back in our third segment, and I tell you, well, there's so much more to talk about. Our guest, it's a very special person, Mike Satterfield, Managing Director of Helms Briscoe. We're going to talk a little more about how you help destinations, and in particular, what there is to do in the destination. So this is Jump in Tucson, and we'll be right back with our special guest. Well, good morning, Tucson. We are back at Jump in Tucson, where every single weekday we talk about the folks that aren't afraid to jump in and get the job done. And we have one of those folks here live, on the radio, Michael Satterfield, Managing Director of Helms Briscoe, the global leader in hotel site selection. Now, Michael, we talked a little bit at the last segment about how important the destination is. And it seems, you know, there are a lot of beautiful resorts out there. But that's the technical side. Is that correct? In that, are they selecting that? I guess there's a lot of reasons why a meeting planner selects a hotel. But how much is that destination, that location of where that hotel is to your clients?
It's a big part, Tom. I mean, you know, often you say, well, we're going to do a meeting, especially if it's a corporate meeting and everybody has to be there, so the destination really shouldn't matter. But in all reality, it kind of does. And especially if you're doing an incentive meeting where you're rewarding people, or you maybe have an association meeting where the destination may help your association gather more people to come in and attend that particular meeting. So the hotel is very important because you need to have a hotel that obviously meets your attendees' needs. What are they used to? It has to fall within their budget, has to have the meeting space, those types of things. But the destination is a big draw as well. I had a program recently in Las Vegas where one of the big draws about Las Vegas wasn't so much. In fact, this client really wasn't a big fan of Vegas. But when we went out and did a site inspection, what really sold them was they wanted to rent out Allegiant Stadium where the Raiders play, and they wanted to rent that out for a party one night. And that was something that, you know, really couldn't be done in a lot of other destinations, or at least at that time it was one of the newest stadiums in the NFL. So that was pretty exciting, especially for their people to be on the field of the stadium where the Super Bowl was going to be played that later that year. So that was important. In Tucson, no different. You know, there's something to be said about, you know, what is your lift? How easy is it to get into Tucson? What are the things you do? You're not going to stay at the hotel the entire time. So if they want to take them off one night, what type of destinations, attractions, what things can they do? In many cases, it helps the destination because people go to a meeting. They might not have a chance to do those things while they're at the meeting, but it exposes them to those activities that they might want to come back somewhere in the future on a leisure vacation.
Well, you're absolutely, and certainly I'm biased about Southern Arizona because I live here and I work here. But obviously, you're here and you're housed here in Arizona. And there are some DMCs that are actually located here that are global DMCs, Bobby at the Westin, and you know, we have a lot of good DMCs at the Ritz-Carlton that are housed there, and you know what's cool about that is that they bring their clients to Tucson before, as say they had three cities that they were thinking about, and it, you know, they get a chance to meet not only the meeting planner. So you're here now in Arizona, and you have two folks here. And I remember talking to them not too long ago. They said, you know, well, we're probably the experts, certainly in Tucson, but we have to be pretty knowledgeable of our region and beyond. But I'm just curious, and I should have asked you this question off the radio because I may not like the answer, but I'm just wondering, how does Arizona, how is Arizona being talked about versus all the other destinations that you represent?
Well, that subject or topic is very top of mind. I just attended Helms Briscoe's annual business conference, which was in Las Vegas last week. That was the largest attended annual business conference we've ever had. We bring both associates from around the world attend, as well as many of our hotel partners and strategic partners. And when we had up on the screen, one of our slides was the top destinations that Helms Briscoe Associates are booking throughout the world. I mean, we ended up booking, it was something close to 7 million room nights last year and over 36,000 programs. The number three destination behind Las Vegas and Orlando, which they get a lot of that business just because of the number of hotels they have, was Phoenix, Scottsdale, Arizona, Tucson, basically. So we're being talked about. It is a fantastic place to obviously to visit. We've got top line hotels throughout the state. And really, like to your point, the way we use a lot of destination management companies, DMCs, is, again, to help our client. Our client may be able to find or give us a destination, or they may not even have that online. We help them find that. But then a DMC is going to help us with everything from something as simple as maybe extra linens that they need that they can't get at the hotel to transportation to entertainment. All those different things. So, and there are a lot of different DMCs out there, and often what we do is we'll put a client in touch with one or two that we've had positive relationships with and let the client kind of get a feel of both. Because often pricing is can be a determinant with that, but it's not always pricing that should be the driving force. It should really be the reputation and the quality and the service that's being provided.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that you are working not only with the DMOs in town, but with the DMCs. And there's a lot more than just finding the hotel room. And the DMCs and the DMOs can open your sales reps' eyes to what there is to do. I former GM of Old Tucson, and we came up with this, why rent a ballroom when you can rent a whole town? So we were, somewhat in competition with the Marriott JW, just right literally 10 minutes away. But you know what happened is they ended up partnering with Old Tucson. And that one night, that one special night that they wanted to do something outside of the ballroom, Old Tucson did really well. And I gained a salesperson, Jackie Ludwig, probably a name that you may have heard.
Yeah.
And Jackie just absolutely loved Old Tucson. The fact that you weren't in a bus for 45 minutes to get there was pretty cool. And then Bobby from the Westin, he gave us a very important tidbit, and it was, I need to keep my catering people happy, so can I bring my catering team to Old Tucson? And we said, we thought about it for about 30 seconds and said, well, as long as you help pay for the cleanup, you're in.
There you go.
And I don't know if I ever sent them a bill because they brought their chef, they brought their glasses, their tablecloths, they brought everything. And we became a wonderful Western Heritage backdrop for them. And I have to tell you, it wasn't one person that recommended it or wasn't one group that put it together. It was all, it was from the whoever they, when they heard about Tucson, from the DMO, and then the DMC took over to help the DMO, and then likewise. But you're out there globally searching for folks that are looking for places to go and looking for things to do, and nobody has enough sales team to do that, or enough budget to do that.
And I was going to say, that's where, when we say we have 1,400 associates worldwide, what does that number really mean? Yes, it represents $1.7 billion in revenue, which, you know, says that, hey, we've got buying power out there. But I think what's really important is that collective knowledge base. It's the fact that we have 50 associates in Arizona, of which we probably have about 8 in southern Arizona. We're not geographically bound as associates, so you can handle and look for business anywhere in the world. So you don't have to look for just business here in Arizona. But the way we help our clients with that is boots on the ground. If someone in New York has a question about the El Conquistador or the Westin La Paloma or the Ritz-Carlton in Tucson, they can certainly look in our system and find information, or they can go through one of our proprietary internet sites to be able to see what other information has a Peter or a Scott or a Tish or Hope put into our system, or just pick up the phone and call and say, hey, Peter, I'm interested in the JW Marriott. Can you tell me a little bit about this, or what are some of the other attractions that are close by? And then we can do the same thing here in Arizona if we're looking for something in Southern California or in, especially Europe. I've partnered with associates in Europe where I might have a hard time even find a destination on a map. It's much easier to partner with someone over there that can help my client provide the best information because they're boots on the ground. That's where size really helps you. It doesn't help if we're not talking with one another, and our culture and our technology is really geared around being able to help each other to help our clients.
Well, you know what? And none of us are afraid to steal an idea. And when you have that vast knowledge out there, it goes beyond just what you can find on a website or, you know, I've been playing around with a little bit of chatbot and AI and, you know, so tell me a little bit about the Desert Museum. And then ten seconds later, I have this 4-paragraph thing about Desert Museum. And then I did the same thing. I said, tell me about Tucson, and you can... The cool thing is, if you have the advanced versions, you could say you can put parameters within what you're asking for. And I did this. I asked them, so tell me why I should bring my corporate group to Tucson, Arizona. And,
right.
And what came up was organized, amazing, stole some of the way it prioritized the climate and Western heritage and all the things that we live here in Phoenix, in Arizona, in Scottsdale, and in Tucson, Arizona. We know what our attributes are. And of course, we have similarities like great climate, at least a good part of the year. And even the summer, we have, as you know, European visitors that, especially from Canada, because it's cold up there all the time. And they don't mind the 9,500 degree heat beating on them, and you know, so climate is not just it's just not a 6 or 8 month. It's a year round, because different geographical regions enjoy no winter or a mild winter, and they also enjoy a hot summer. So, but you know what?
I have to interrupt you there. We're not hot here in the summer. We're seasonally mild for a desert climate. that's how we used to sell it.
Absolutely. And the living desert. We're the only green desert that you have. Because when I was being asked to join the old Tucson crew, you know, we had all of the information about what the Sonoran Desert is, and it wasn't until we contacted the attraction nearby, the Sonoran Desert Museum, Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum, when they told us, you know, Tom, you know, our 12 inches of rain goes a long way here, and we're green. We're not a Mojave Desert, because I was coming from the Mojave Desert. Now, that's a desert that doesn't live very much, you know. So we all have attributes and competitive sets that are different. We have a DMO here that works really hard. As you know, Graham works really hard on not only – you know, promoting Tucson, but working with the hotels and the attractions, and even even we have a division called Vamos a Tucson that works with how can we be, you know, ready for our visitors from down south, and it all works together. And you know, having somebody in, you know, that's a like yourself, that we can, you know, not only you can talk about us, but we can, okay, so what else is going on out there? Why are the people going to this region versus this region? And then you, that sharing of information just makes the region, I think, stronger. Well, we're this is Jump in Tucson, and we are here today with Michael from Helms Briscoe, and Michael will be back for our last segment here. We're going to talk a little bit about what are some of those trends that you might be interested in. Well, we're back, and this is Jump in Tucson. Every weekday, we have a brand new folk community leader, I should. It's probably the best way to that jumps in and just gets the job done. And we have four wonderful hosts, and I have the opportunity to be here every Thursday. So tomorrow, Ed Ackerley, Dr. Ackerley, our boss of the show, he'll be here at 9 o'clock with his special set of guests. And then I'll be back next Thursday with Robert Davenport from the Good Enough Mine and Trolley from Tombstone, Arizona, the original silver mine in Tombstone in the 1880s that... If you have a silver dollar, it's probably the silver came from Tombstone. And he'll tell you a little bit about how he's opened up two, maybe even three more mines now that you can go visit. Now, we're here, final segment, with our special guest, Michael Satterfield, and he's the manager director of Helms Briscoe. And we've been talking about a lot of things about how Helms Briscoe is really helping the hotel and the destination world and bringing meetings, and whether they be association or corporate meetings or incentive group meetings, just all whatever, however you can describe the type of group. And we highly encourage you to, if you have a group that you are in charge of, find a place where you can go, because it, you know, working from home during COVID times was not a lot of fun if you're a people person. And what we find in tourism, one common denominator is we love to be around folks. And you just saw, you just talked about that, Mike, didn't you, when you were in Las Vegas? How happy was everybody to see one another?
I think it was our most well-attended annual business conference, and I think that is just a product of the times, to your point. I mean, all of our associates are 100% commissioned. They work from home. I work out of our corporate office, but often I'm working from home. In fact, I'll throw a quick plug out there as well. We're always looking for good people. We've got, like I said, eight strong people in Southern Arizona, but if anyone ever has an interest in travel, in the hospitality industry, in hotels, in helping clients, reach out to me directly via our website, or you know, they can find me, and I'd be happy to talk with them about this, because it's a great career. It's a great way to be able to help, again, your clients, help hotels, be in an industry they're really kind of excited about, and an industry that right now is on fire. It is continuing to do extremely well, and we don't see any end to that coming for a while.
Yeah, we have some good friends that are members also of the SAAA, and they're telling us that it's just not the leisure world that's going crazy, or the vacation planners, the wholesalers. It's the meeting industry. And, you know, we don't have to talk too much about the trend other than what you just said, Mike. It's on fire. And which means there's a tremendous amount of demand on folks that work at Helms Briscoe, that work as a DMC or work, and of course the vendors that they represent, the transportation company that, you know, they had to have everything in the garage for over 2 years. And now they wish they had one more bus or one more coach to meet the man, or probably one more assistant out there. So I'm very happy that you there's that opportunity if you're a successful salesperson. And not that I want you to steal anybody away, but there's a career opportunity in the hospitality industry, and obviously Pima Community College and NAU is developing a whole new level of hospitality leaders, and they're also the hospitality educational is booming as well. So you can have a good career. I certainly had one as an amusement park fellow that worked my way up. So we want to thank Mike for you coming on and really educating us a lot more about the meeting industry and how Helms Briscoe helps you do a better job. So, Mike, we wish you the best.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you for doing what you do. Take care.
I appreciate that. This is Jump in Tucson, and Dr. Ackerley will be back tomorrow, and we'll be back with Robert Davenport next Thursday. And Kim, thank you for being here with me. And Kim's going to be helping on the show next week.
Yep, I'm very excited for next week. You will be able to hear more of me. Thank you.